We are joined by Thomas Harding of MLB.com. He covers the Rockies. He's been a frequent guest on our show. We love having him here. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning to you. It's nice to be here in the bunker.
Yes, that's right. You're in the KBR bunker, and we head out to the public house at 10 o'clock. You're here with Allie and Ben, and we've got John Wilson and Raf back at the studio. It's like I'm an astronaut flying around. I got this great support. Wait till you see what we have cooking out at the public house. All right, the Rockies, they're better. First of all, they're 7-3. What, 7-3 against the Giants? They hit, and they don't stop hitting, and they hit the Giants very well.
Yes, they did last night, and they've done it all season. You would like to have seen them, if you're a Rockies fan, you would like to have seen them do this on a more consistent basis all year. But listen, Rockies are last in the National League West. They're 7 games below 500, but they're 8 games out of first place. As a comparison, the Pittsburgh Pirates are 41-32, and they're 8 games out of first place in the National League Central. It's like the St. Louis Cardinals and everybody else in this league.
Well, it's true. You know, I want to talk about Kainley from last night, and it was a very exciting end of the game for everybody, including you, I'm sure, just covering it. You write your story, and you say, wait a minute, am I going to have to rewrite this story? And I put a lot of my numbers in my book already, thinking that that game was over. But Kainley comes in, and a very intriguing guy for me, and you look at him against right-handed hitting, and he got a couple of right-handers out who are hitting the ball pretty well lately. Kainley 2-for-20 against right-handers, an 0.71. He has walked 7, so he did walk a couple last night. But, boy, this is an arm, and I want to tell you something. To get Duffy out, who almost knocked one down the line for a double, and then here comes Posey, you know, the winning run. And, you know, a base hit here can do some damage in the gap. You're tying the game up. This guy put it together at the right moment last night.
Yes, he was with the club all last season as a Rule 5 guy. They started him out in AAA because he needed to just finish his development. But he has a really nice fastball. I mean, he can hit 98 miles an hour. I think he was in the mid-90s and a little bit in the upper 90s last night. And a power changeup. If he gets those over the plate, he's a very hard guy to hit. And you're right, he's really hard on right-handed hitting. It's just simply a case of him staying in the strike zone, finding a way to get in there, get ahead of hitters, and then make them swing and hit the changeup for a ground ball or strikeout.
Well, Walt Weiss wasn't taking him out.
Yeah, it was a strange situation also because they used a lot of bullpen in the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So LaTroy Hawkins was not available, and Christian Bergman also was not available. So really, you had a slightly depleted bullpen. You had Rafael Betancourt, who had just come off the DL. He pitched in the middle of the game. So it was Kainley. Now, if it had gotten to the two left-handers in the
Frederick
lineup, yeah, then Christian Friedrich would have been in, and that would have been it for them.
Well, okay. All right. Thomas Harding with us of MLB.com. Nolan Arenado. Last night, a couple of home runs, and we've seen this over the years. Giants have his brother in their farm system. We're hoping maybe something can happen there. But every day, this guy gets better, and we haven't even hit the halfway point of the season yet, and he's got 22.
Yes, and the amazing thing about him, and I've said this a number of different times, when he was drafted in the second round out of a high school in Lake Forest, California, he was known as a bat, and a lot of people thought, is he going to be able to move well enough to stay at third base, or are the Rockies going to have to make him a catcher or a first baseman? Here is a guy who has won 2 gold gloves his first 2 years in the league, is one of the best third basemen in a long time here. I mean, you start hearing the Brooks Robinson comparisons, and when you hear those, you don't just automatically wave your hand and say, I'll go away with that. And now the bat is coming around, so can this guy develop into a superstar? We're certainly seeing it happen right now.
Yeah, we saw it last night, and you know, we know his dive into the stands when he was here the last time. Thomas Harding with us of MLB.com. He covers the Rockies. What's the Tulowitzki story? Now, last time we saw you, it was just brewing. You know, I want out of there. I want to be traded. And then he backtracked and all that kind of stuff. Carlos Gonzalez, 5-for-5 last night, finally put something together. He's had a tough season. But let's talk about those two and a little bit of the future of the Rockies and how those two fit in.
Yeah, it's a huge question. Coming into the season, let's face it, they could have worked some sort of trade last winter, I believe, even though they both had been injured. You look at the back of their baseball card, these are guys who are really productive. Now, other teams may have been scared off by the injuries, but the fact was the Rockies went into this thinking, there's enough offense here, and if we can have competent pitching, then maybe we can contend this year. And that thought process has kind of governed the whole thing here. Now, when you're sitting at 33 and 40, you start, at least from the outside, you start thinking, do you rethink that at this point? But because it's not even the All-Star break and they're 8 games out and no one's running away with this division, they have more time to mull over this decision. And frankly, for the last week, the offense has performed the way that the Rockies thought it would. At no point earlier in the season did it perform the way they thought it would. So they're probably going to give this some time and see what happens. I do think that at some point in their careers, Tulowitzki signed through 2020 and Carlos Gonzalez through 2017, they're going to have to explore a trade because they never have enough pitching. No one has enough pitching, but especially in that ballpark. If you're able to flip one of those guys for maybe a pitcher that's ready for the majors and a real prospect, I think the Rockies have to entertain that. But I am told that there's not much on the horizon right now. Maybe some teams have just made a phone call every now and then, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, everybody's in it. I mean, you know, maybe the Marlins are a little discouraged this morning getting the news that Stanton's got a broken hand. But Fernandez comes back for them next week. The Phillies, they need a manager. Ryan Sandberg's gone. And Jason Stark had that great quote that I've used many times in 1959 or 1960. Eddie Sawyer was the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, and they were horrible. This is the team that a couple of years later lost 23 in a row and everything like that. Gene Mauk took over. And after the first game of the season, Eddie Sawyer quit. The manager of the Phillies, he quit. And he said, and everyone said, Eddie, why did you quit? He says, I'm 49. I'd like to live to be 50. And you had that feeling with Ryan Sandberg. It was the old Eddie Sawyer story. You know the Phillies. You know Ryan Sandberg. What was your take on that?
I'll tell you what struck me, because things had been falling apart. They had that issue with not being able to reach the bullpen and had Jeff Francoeur throw 48 pitches in a game. It just seemed like everything was falling apart and they just needed change. When I saw the press conference yesterday, I didn't recognize Ryan Sandberg. I mean, he looked so old. It's almost like he was the president of the United States, but but he worked 4 years or even 8 years, a two-term, into a couple of years as manager. And he in a rebuilding situation, it's really hard to be the manager, see that through, and then end up on the other end of winning.
Yeah, and being a Hall of Famer. Yes. But he put in his time. He went through the Cubs system, went through the Phillies at the upper level, and he rode the buses. He's not a great communicator. I think that was one of the raps against him. And when you start losing and you don't start communicating better, you get the issue with Utley at the mound. What's going on here? And once you have that publicly happening, it's trouble. So for Sandberg, he didn't have the personality to really withstand it, I think.
Yeah, the personality in that situation. I mean, let's face it, there have been managers who aren't huge communicators all the time. I mean, Bobby Cox rarely left his office to talk to the players. If you got called into Bobby Cox's office, then everyone looked at you like you were the total pariah, because you don't disappoint Bobby Cox. I remember Jack McKeon, he would write the lineup and then go back into his office, and that was it. It really depends on the type of team you have. Bobby Cox managing the Braves at that time, where they had a whole lot of professional enforcers, and they were good at the time. Right now, the Phillies, they have a few players who are on the deep end of their career, but a lot of guys that aren't really ready to win. So it's a bad mix. It's a bad situation if you're not a super communicator.
Yeah, well, great point. Very well said. Bobby Cox, with Andrew Jones, I imagine he had him in the office a few times. I know he had trouble with him. Today, we see a lefty on the hill. We've seen him before. A couple of years ago, he pitched quite well here. I look at his June numbers. He's getting hit all over the place, home runs on the road. And, boy, if you're a Giant fan today, you say, can we start the game now? What do we expect from Chris Russon today?
Well, Chris Russon pitched very well in his last start, but it was at Coors Field. It's almost like he has the opposite effect. He's gone on the road and gotten slaughtered, but I will tell you this. He went on the road to Miami with Giancarlo Stanton when he was healthy, and Stanton – The Marlins won 3 of 4, but really Stanton won 3 of 4 in that series. And then he pitched against the Houston Astros, which I don't know if they have the Giants faced them yet.
Yes, yeah.
They've
seen a couple of the home runs already.
Yes, I'll tell you what. That is one aggressive team. They swing, they miss, they swing, they hit. They don't care. They just want to hit the ball. So he's faced a couple of tough outs there. But in his last start, I believe that was against Milwaukee. Yeah, he ended up pitching pretty well, 3 runs in like 7 innings.
Okay.
And did well at Coors Field. So we'll see what happens tonight. One of the things that I was checking into last night, and I talked to Chad Bettis about this, is that the pitchers are starting to feel that the hitters are hitting.
Yeah.
And that really helps. There was a period where the Rockies struggled. They lost 11 in a row. Then after that, they worked their way back to 3 under. That was based on pitching with a depleted staff. Imagine what could happen if they could pitch decently and hit the way that they expect to hit.
Yeah, I said this, and I said this when they were coming in last week. I said, you know, they're getting better. They're starting to, you know, if you throw 10 games, maybe 5 will be well pitched, where before maybe you had 2 or 3. Now you're getting maybe up in the 5 and 6 areas, so they're getting better.
They are getting better. They do need to get their veterans going. Jorge De La Rosa's dealing with a cut on his middle finger of the pitching hand. There's always a little something with him, and usually he pitches well through it, but this one forced him out of his last start. Kyle Kendrick finally won a game at Coors Field. He's had trouble keeping the ball in the park. He's been exactly what the Rockies have wanted off the field. I mean, I think he has really been a leader for the younger pitchers. There's a professionalism about him, but they just need him to pitch well and to pitch well for a period of time.
Well, we got him tomorrow against Madison Bumgarner, who's the hard luck guy these days. 1-0, 2-0, 3-2, and he's been pitching great. But Kendrick is another guy, gives up some runs. So who knows? I think we're going to see an interesting weekend of baseball here with Lincecum and Russin. Russin doing a little better lately. Lincecum fighting for his position in the starting rotation. Rockies hitting the heck out of the ball. The Giants now starting to get loose at home. Who knows what we'll see? 1-0 today. I see
that. Who knows what we'll see? I mean, I remember for years coming here and you're almost counting on the loss, and usually for the Rockies it was a loss in a dramatic way, or just something really deflating. And for the last 3 to 4 years, the Rockies have been very competitive and winning a whole lot of games at this park.
Yeah, I always said when the Giants needed a prescription for winning, they'd go to the pharmacy, Good Neighbor Pharmacy, and they would write out, "Play the Rockies." And you're right, they'd come here and they couldn't do anything about it. Life is different. That's the story of a baseball season. Thomas, great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
A great report on the Rockies, and they lived up to it last night, and Arenado certainly has opened a lot of eyes around here with the kind of season he's having. Appreciate you being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I love coming here to San Francisco, and anytime.
All right, that's Thomas Harding, MLB.com. He covers the Rockies. More coming up right here in the Sports Leader.